Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together.
So I'm excited to share just my 1 year wedding anniversary. You're gonna make some coffee with me and then we're gonna get cozy in my office. I'm gonna tell you all about it. So let's get started. I'm making coffee for Evan and I. As you can see, baby girl is growing. I can't believe it, I'm already 7 months. So let's get this on the road. I used to work for Starbucks and I absolutely am a coffee snob, to say the least. So, do I have enough in here? That is running low, but we have like so many. So funny story, when I got pregnant, the first 2 months, 3 months, I could not stand the smell of coffee. I couldn't drink coffee. And I am a huge coffee buff. Like I am an addict when it comes to coffee. But anyways, I'm gonna go grab that coffee right now. So because our pantry is like stocked, we have a really small kitchen. I like just grabbed whatever coffee was there, and I'm so glad because it's caramel brulee. Caramel. And if you didn't know, I'm a huge Green Bay Packer fan. This is for Evan, but it's a smaller cup. I'm obsessed with like huge cups. Huge cups. It just smells so good. And I'm just kind of really lazy, but I'm obsessed with pumpkin spice. I thought that was the pumpkin coffee. The pump's not working, so I'm doing it a little bit ghetto style. Just pour right in. I'm a pretty good pour. Being a barista for like 5 years, I learned a thing or two. And then I usually make an Americano. I don't like too much sugar. So instead of putting like a ton, making a latte, which they're delicious, but just to save on the sugar just a little bit, I just make an Americano. Okay. And then I'm gonna top it off with coconut milk. So I totally just dropped it, but thank God it was closed. And little coconut milk and top it with a straw. And that is their morning coffee. Now I'm gonna take you upstairs to the office and we're gonna talk all about wedding stuff.
Well, thanks for joining me. I'm so excited to have you here and talk about all wedding stuff, all the details from my wedding, because I never really actually talked about it on here, but I'm just excited to have one, a solo episode. I haven't really done that too often since I started the channel. So I figured like it was time. It was time to do this. And so make sure you grab a cup of coffee, cup of tea, water, drink, and cozy up with me. So I'll start with the details of the wedding, and then we'll get into really the lessons I learned along the journey of a year being married and what that has brought me. Some good things, some questionable things. Just kidding. All good things, all learning lessons, I would say, the things that weren't so great. But I'll start with the details. And for me, I really wanted to create this atmosphere for my wedding to be very intimate, cozy, especially because it's fall and all the beautiful colors here in Colorado. Because growing up in South Florida and living in California for years, I really didn't experience so many seasons. Like California does have it, but you have to drive. Here, it's just, it's everywhere. It's so beautiful. So I really wanted to get married in October. That was just like my goal. I didn't realize like that's the one of the most popular months to get married. I mean, that in like May and June or whatnot, but I was very surprised. So with all of that, I was like, okay, I really want to get married in October. It was so hard to find one venue that fit our budget, that fit the timeline when I wanted to get married, because I really wanted originally to get married on October 7th, and it was just not working. And like, it was a Saturday. So we did ended up getting married on October 15th, which was perfect. It was at this private estate in Lyons, Colorado, Lioncrest Manor. So gorgeous. It was family, it's family run. They've been doing weddings there for 27 years and absolutely gorgeous. And also, I wanted all my friends to have really great pictures and views of the wedding, not just there to celebrate us. But we really just wanted that mountain view, or maybe I wanted it more. Evan was just like, yeah, okay, whatever you want. but I really enjoyed it. And so part of that is I love like fall colors. So burgundy, greens, yellows, oranges, just that fall feeling. And the other day, somebody asked me, they're like, why do you love fall so much? And I was like, you know, it's just this cozy feeling. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's just the perfect temperament. And everyone's just like in a good mood. And of course, it's pumpkin season, and I'm obsessed. Anything pumpkin. I just went to Trader Joe's and got like everything pumpkin that I could eat. but anyways, so that's kind of where I started with the venue and planning everything. We actually looked at venues before we got engaged, because we just knew. Like, I think when you get to a certain point in your relationship, even if you're younger, you just kind of know. And we knew. So it's like, why waste time? And I had been seeing so much on TikTok, because that's where I got all my inspiration, or 95% of my inspiration was from wedding talk on TikTok. So if you are getting married or engaged, or in that process, definitely check out Wedding Talk. There's so much goodness on there. And horror stories too, but at least you can have that idea of it. But anyways, yeah, so we like had started looking for venues prior, because I just had heard on Wedding Talk that so many people couldn't get the venues, or they had to wait another year. I was like, I'm not getting any younger, and I want to get married sooner than later. I didn't want to have to wait 2 or 3 years just to get the perfect venue. So why we actually even decided on Lionscrest Manor was because I had been looking at like Aspen and Vail, and a lot of those venues, just for the venue, not food, drinks, DJ, all this stuff, it was like $50,000. I was like, what? We're not spending that. Like, as much as I want a huge, like a beautiful wedding, like that, I can't justify that. So anyways, Evan's like, look in Lyons, Colorado. I was like, okay. And then I found our venue, and it was just so perfect. I just fell in love immediately, because we had looked at other venues prior and they just weren't hitting the spot. I didn't feel that like spark or magic there. And when we went to Lionscrest Manor, it was just perfect. Everything I desired, it was just there. And it's so gorgeous. Yeah, it was a really big venue for like the amount of people we had, but it was worth it. So then once we decided on the venue, we decided on the colors, which were burgundy. That was the main color. Ironically, I'm wearing burgundy right now. And then all the greens, yellows, and oranges as well. So I really wanted to like encompass all of that vibe and feeling, and that like romantic vibe and warmth. Because I did look at like Pinterest, and they had like, it was more moody, so it was like navy and burgundy, but that was like too moody. And I feel like I'm a kind of a peppy person and cheerful, and I felt like I needed a little bit more color. And but it was gorgeous, like the things I saw on Pinterest. But we ended up going more on the softer side, and that's more my vibe anyway. And then so when it came to more of the details, we actually created all the signages ourselves. We did use Zazzle. So if you ever heard of Zazzle, it's definitely super easy. You just type everything in and then they can like mail it to you. So we did that for our welcome sign. We did that for all our signages. We had different tables. So we had, what else did we have? I'm like, we had all of that. So like we had a table for gifts and thank you cards. Honestly, I didn't really expect anything on that table, because it's like so many people were traveling from Florida and California. I was like, I don't want to make anybody get us anything. We don't need anything, because we had been living together prior to getting engaged. So I was like, we don't really need much. So, I mean, your presence is the present for me. But so we had signage for that. And then we had signage for, we did like a little date night jar, so people could give us some ideas that we could take, like that maybe we didn't think of. And I got that off Etsy. It was like this cute little jar, and you just like, put the date card ideas in there, and it had like Caroline and Evan, October 15th, 2023. So that was like so fun and beautiful. So we had that signage for people to put the cards in that. And then we had, what else did we have? For like desserts, we had like a little signage for that. And then my favorite part of the signage was we did, instead of place cards, and I'm gonna take a sip because like I'm out of breath and being 7 months pregnant, I'm always out of breath. Okay, we're good. but anyway, so my favorite part was, you know how like when you go to a wedding, everybody has the name, the place cards with the table number on it. I've seen some really, really cute ideas, especially on TikTok. But I was like, I saw one and I was like, this is what we're doing. Because I kept the wedding really small and intimate. I didn't want to invite people that I hadn't talked to in a year or so. People like to invite people just to invite them, or even extended family. I was very adamant about that. I think boundaries are number one. but I wanted to be surrounded by no drama, no like issues, anything like that. Just really pure love, pure excitement. Not to say some people like that weren't invited. I didn't. It was just more of, I wanted to create that space that was super important to me. But anyways, so because we had such a small wedding, Evan and I, like Evan's really creative. Like he does not give himself enough credit for it, but we have a Cricut, which is his, not even mine. I'm like horrible with these things, but we ended up creating thank you cards for each guest personalized. So thank you, thanking them for being there. Thank you. And then also sharing a funny, cute, really intimate story that either I had with them or Evan. And so once we like did that, I was like, okay, it will like just writing those intimate things for each guest. It was very tedious. And I was like, why are we doing this? This is crazy. I was like, I know, but I want it. So we did it. But anyways, yeah. So we use a Cricut for some, especially the ones that I wrote a lot. And he's like, you're writing so much. I was like, I know, but I just have so much to say and I'm so grateful. And I just feel so good about the whole thing. Like, I mean, they've been a part of our love story from the beginning, especially my family and like my best friend. And so anyways, we like printed some of them on the Cricut and then it was taking too long. So Evan's like, let's just type it and then we can like stick it on there. I was like, okay, fine. but then we had on the thank you card as well, a little QR code so people could put pictures and videos in one app for us. So it kind of just made things a little bit easier to manage where all the pictures were coming from and videos. People weren't so good about that at our wedding, to be quite honest. I was a little sad about that, but because we only had two photographers, which I wanted like two different vibes instead of just having one photographer, which I'm super glad we did, but we didn't have a videographer, which we kept going back and forth, but it was like $6,000 for like a mediocre videographer. And I get it. I totally get it. I respect it. It was just like, wasn't in the budget for us. And I was trying to be mindful of a lot of things, but anyways, going back to the thank you cards and the place cards, it was a hit. Everybody loved it. And it was just so intimate. But at first it was funny because my dad was like, I was like, oh, like nobody realized that the thank you card was actually, there was a card inside because it was an envelope, like a teeny, it's like probably this big. But my dad's like, oh, there's something in there. And I'm like, yes, we worked so hard on this. So they eventually figured it out. And people are like, I'm going to read it later because I'm going to cry and I don't want to cry. I was like, okay. so yeah, we did all of that. And then the other thing we did for actually like creating signage was the itinerary. So what I did for all the guests that were staying outside, like at the hotel, the host hotel, was to create a welcome bag. And I wanted to them to feel welcome when they got there. And just that whole setting up people for like this whole big weekend, basically like fun, relaxed, but really just showcasing how much we were feeling supported and loved and the gratitude for everyone that did come. So we had a welcome bag. In the welcome bag, we got bags off of like Amazon, Burgundy. So I wanted like the theme, the colors, everything to kind of be super cohesive throughout. And then inside of that welcome bag, we had the itinerary for the entire weekend. So people knew exactly where to go. I had emailed everything prior, but not everyone reads everything, and I just wanted people to know exactly what was happening and what to expect, because that's kind of just, I like to know what to expect, and that's something I'm learning to let go of. And I'll talk about that in the lessons I've learned this year. So we had the welcome bag with, we had a welcome party that Saturday night, and then we got married on a Sunday. And so we had like everything to expect, what times everything was, everything, the timeline mapped out. And then Monday morning, we had like a morning after brunch. So I had all the addresses, everything, the times, just to make it super easy. But I made everything on Canva. We had like cardstock, and then I just printed everything and I made sure the font matched everything else. So that was the itinerary. And then in that welcome bag, we had, I got a ton of different things from Amazon. So like gum, band-aids, makeup wipes. And then we had a water bottle from our company, Ferris Solar Company, because I wanted people to remember to stay hydrated, especially since a lot of people are coming from sea level, like Florida and California, maybe not used to the altitude, especially because Lyons, I mean, it's kind of close to the foothills, but we were going to be up on the mountaintop too, where the wedding was. So we just kind of wanted to think of everything. And then we had his and hers. I saw this on like TikTok, like his favorite, her favorite, like snacks, just so people, like when they got there, they weren't starving, or they might be starving from traveling. So I'm obsessed with popcorn. I could eat popcorn like for every single meal besides sushi, but so I got popcorn. And then Evan's obsessed with these like berry candies. They wanted like sweet and salty kind of vibe. So we did that, and we made like little stickers just off of Canva. So we stuck that on in the welcome bag too. So there was a bunch of like little things. I think there was more, but that's all I can think of at the moment. So we did that just to kind of, again, create that atmosphere for people. And the other things we got detail-wise, we ended up getting a photo booth because it's like, it'll be super fun. I wanted, like, we're gonna create our own, but I'm like, at that point, once you get to a certain point in the wedding, it's like, oh, $1,000. Okay. Because it's already, you've already spent so much money on the food, the venue, the photographers, the dress. Oh my God, my dress was gorgeous. But like all the other aspects of it, we ended up renting an Airbnb, hair and makeup, like shoes, like everything, because I changed shoes after the wedding. But anyways, yeah, so we got a photo booth. Very last minute, the last, like, I think it was like 3 weeks before the wedding, we ended up hiring a tarot reader. He's like, I love that stuff. I mean, maybe not everyone does, but, and he's also a numerologist. So that was really cool. Everyone kind of had, not everyone, but a lot of people had an opportunity to get a little mini session or reading. So that was just something different. And I'm an activity person. Like, I like dancing. The friend who did the music didn't really work out too well. Like, there wasn't a lot of music, if any. But I think because we had so many activities going on throughout the wedding, it just was like not a lot of people danced, and it was like two stories where it was. So it was a little harder, but it happens. And then instead of a regular cake, we had macaroon cake. So, like, tons of macaroons. And to kind of give you a funny story, well, maybe not funny for me, but Evan ended up, like, he loves macaroons. And we, it was a huge, like, we had like 200 macaroons for the whole, like, for all the guests and whatnot. He had 15, 15. So he was sick our wedding night. But that's okay. Lesson learned. He has a sweet tooth, more than I do, but it was really cool just because we don't like cake, and so it was like a different kind of vibe and just creating our own aspect to it. And then we had a video guest book instead of like a written guest book. But again, like, people didn't really see it, and like, I think it was a little harder to navigate. Not everyone knew because it was like kind of outside of like on the patio. But we did that so people could actually hear what they were saying and we could hear them. But that was cute. And then we had the date night jar, which I mentioned. And then one thing that we did do was, instead of spending thousands of dollars on a florist, we actually got from Zola, if you've ever heard of them, amazing. They're wooden flowers. They look very real, But we ended up, like, one of my really good friends came over and she helped us like paint them. So they looked real, and like I made my bouquet and everything like that. And I still have them today. So we didn't spend thousands of dollars, maybe a couple hundred. And we had a really good time. It was something that like we were allowed to use our creativity and also save a ton of money. And there's a lot of other services like that too. I think I don't remember all of them, but you saw it so much on TikTok and whatnot, but it did save us a lot of money. So I encourage you, if you're creative or have friends that are creative, it just saves a lot of things. It does take some time, so that was the thing, but we planned ahead. And then what we did for like all the, with the signages that we had, I got like these black frames from, where did I get them from? I think from Michaels, maybe, but or maybe Amazon. I don't remember. But anyways, we had the frames, and then next to the frames, I wouldn't want it just to be the frame. I wanted some like flowers and kind of make it look a little prettier. Evan had a really good idea, but I got these wooden like slices, so it's kind of like a little like plate looking. And then we glued a mason jar onto that. Like Evan had spray painted the mason jars black so you couldn't like see inside. And then the wooden flowers we had, we just like put on top because they had like little sticks and stuff. So it made it look really pretty. And Evan like put that together himself. I was like, wow, very creative. The things you don't realize until you're like put into that. And then another thing we did, because it was like very small and intimate, and I didn't want, like, I had been a part of a wedding before, and it's just the cost of getting the dress, the hair, the makeup, the shoes, like everything. It's expensive because, especially if you're doing a bachelorette party or a bridal shower. I did the bachelorette weekend. But for like our wedding party, I decided just to have my sister as my maid of honor, and Evan had his like best childhood friend as the best man. And that was perfect. And then they sat down during the ceremony. And instead of like me being on the side of my family and Evan being on the side of his family, we swapped so like our families could see our reactions. So I thought that was cool. And we could see them instead of having your back to it. So I saw that on TikTok. I was like, oh, I like that. And we had a very traditional, well, almost very traditional Jewish wedding as well. So, funny story, how we even met, just to kind of bring it back, we had a mutual friend and we met through Facebook dating, basically. That's a story for another day. But, anyways, we had that friend of officiate as well as a rabbi. So, we kind of had it like this fun little different dynamic and whatnot, but that was awesome. Yeah, so that was all the details. I feel like there were so many more, but you'll see the pictures and whatnot we can put in here too. And then for the actual wedding itself, we had our welcome party. We went to this cute little Mexican restaurant, not too far from the wedding venue, so people kind of had an idea, and nothing was too far. But we did that Saturday night, kind of that was like a mission we were trying to. I didn't make a reservation because I was like, oh, it's gonna be super casual. At first, I really didn't want to do a welcome party. I was like, I didn't want to have to pay for another thing, to be quite honest. Because you're already spending tens of thousands of dollars on your wedding for, like, it could have been a down payment on a house, but I really wanted the wedding. And so I ended up doing the welcome party. I'm so glad we did it. It was great because people got to mingle and get to know each other prior to the wedding. But anyways, so yeah, that we did that, and then the wedding was just absolutely perfect. I forgot to mention this earlier, but I literally printed out minute by minute, like, okay, time to go to the bathroom, time to do this, time to do that, like throughout the day. So I think we were only running like 15 minutes late, but everything went according to plan. So that was like, wow, okay, I did pretty good. Especially because I love planning and I love like bringing people together, but I was very nervous because I had never planned a wedding before. And thankfully, I had a day of coordinator. Highly, highly suggest having a day of coordinator. Just makes things run smoothly. You don't have to worry about everything. Because part of when I was planning my wedding, I was like, oh, I can do that. I can do that. And in reality, it just makes it really difficult if you are trying to enjoy your day. So that was that. And then after the wedding, the next day, we had a morning after brunch, and the people who were staying a little bit longer that like had flown in, they were able to come. Hopefully, not everyone was able to come, but it was just a nice little like cafe called Pistachios in I guess it's in Longmont, I want to say, but so cute. And it was just so fun. It was a Monday, so it wasn't like super crowded. And I think there was like 20 of us. So like half the wedding people were there, or guests were there. So that was just so lovely and felt good to just kind of connect after the day, because I feel like even though we only had like 30 something people, still it was hard to talk to everybody. Because you're just like, it was the best day of my life, put it that way. Like, couldn't have had it go any better. So that was the wedding, just to kind of give some details. And then some of the lessons that I've learned in this first year of marriage is definitely patience. I feel like with patience, it's been interesting to see just how you move through life, because I mean, Evan and I, we moved in together after like dating for just a few months. Like everything happened really quickly, but I figured, okay, if things go south, at least we know sooner than later and don't have to waste each other's time if it's not right. So I feel like being able to live together and also just understanding we have different mindsets about things. I will say our values and our core values are very similar, and that's something that's super important. But I think just having patience with each other and realizing like how I process things is very different than how he processes things, and coming to that common ground of, okay, well, I get what you're saying, I get what you're saying, but how do we merge? And I think that's the beautiful thing I've learned, just even dating him and then getting engaged and married, everything happens so quickly. Because we've been together for a little over 3 years now, but married for a year now. But that's the first thing. The second thing I would say is communication. So part of that mindset and having that different perspective, sometimes it can be really difficult. I think growing up, I wasn't very good at communicating, and that's probably why I became a therapist. It was to really learn how to do that better, maybe subconsciously. I thought that, but we've really had to learn how to communicate in a different capacity. Like, I think beforehand we were communicating, but I tend to, in the past, be really passive aggressive. So I've learned really quickly in my relationship that that's not okay. And it's also the more vulnerable you are with your partner and the more safety you feel, the more you're able to open up. Because, it's interesting. I had a friend say, like, what does emotional safety mean to you? This was like months and months ago. And it's like with Evan, I feel so emotionally safe to share anything with him. And I know I'm not going to be judged or ridiculed. And I feel like with our communication, we've really been able to bridge that and understand, even when we're upset about something, we never yell at each other. We never like bicker like that. It's just more of like we're having a disagreement and coming to that common ground. And you're gonna have, I just had an interview the other day where we were talking about patterns and themes in relationships, and they keep coming up if you don't deal with them. And that's one thing that like Evan and I have really focused on this last year. And I'm so grateful, because before in any other relationship, I've never had that safe feeling with somebody. And so it's been so beautiful to witness, and I can't wait to see what happens. And also, I think I've been more conscious being pregnant and like bringing a daughter into this world. I'm like, okay, I need to really work on my communication, because she's going to see everything and that's going to be her first experience. So I think it's just super important. But yeah, I think it'll always be evolving, especially as different phases of life happen. And the last thing I would say is new perspectives have been gained through that communication, through more understanding. And as you get to know somebody more, I don't know if you ever fully know somebody. I think like people could be married 30 years and realize certain things they never realized before. But I think it goes back to the self-awareness, and the more work I do on myself, and like Evan definitely does work on himself as well. I think that's such a key point, and just realizing everyone's gonna have a different perspective. But how can you both have your perspectives but find that common ground? And I think that's a theme for Evan and I as well, is we always find that common ground, understanding each other, but also giving that space for us to really explore, okay, well, what does that mean for you? What are you trying to say? What is the point there? So we can understand. And I think that's like the aspect of all of it. It's when you choose a partner, you're choosing to live that life with them. You're going to be having, like, I think I read it the other day, like 10,000 meals with that person if you're married for a certain amount, like 30 years or whatnot. Like, really choosing that person carefully, but also knowing in your heart too, because I think love is love, of course, but it's so much bigger than that. It's really being able to compromise and hear each other out. And it is unconditional love. Like, I feel that for Evan wholeheartedly. And, you know, it's just, I can't believe we've been married a year. It feels like longer sometimes. Maybe that's where the patience comes in. But I think it's just really interesting. I feel it's, I'm so grateful that I met him, that we're building this beautiful life together, and we have been. And I'm so grateful for all those individuals in my life that are so supportive of our relationship and that pour back into us, and just all the relationships and the couples that we've met here in Colorado, that we've kind of created our little village here, has been so beautiful. But I really say and want to say that I'm so grateful for all the lessons, all the ups and downs, because I mean, it's been a hardship too. It's not like, oh, it's all rosy and amazing. There is tough times, and I think that's the reality of marriage. It's not like I love you one day, I don't the next. It's I choose you. I choose to love you. I choose to be in this. And that's something, like, I tell Evan all the time. I'm like, I'm gonna love you to 150, because I'm like, he's gonna live to 150, I'm gonna live to 148. that's the goal. But I think part of that is just trusting your instincts, trusting that you chose the right person for you, and realizing that a lot of people might have opinions. And at the end of the day, I always say this to everybody, especially being a former marriage and family therapist. At the end of the day, you choose your person, but no one ever really knows what goes on behind closed doors. And I think the important part of that is realizing that you know your relationship best. People could give you advice, people could, even in therapy, but you don't always hear the full story or know the full story. And I think that's what's really important, is knowing that you choose each other, you communicate, you have patience for each other, and also knowing that you're going to evolve as time goes on this journey. But so that is my wedding story, details of it, the lessons I've learned in my first year of marriage, and I can't wait for more to come.
Now that I ate, I feel much more refreshed, ready to talk all about motherhood and all the changes happening. And I wrote down notes because pregnancy brain is real. And I don't want to miss anything. But anyways, I'm gonna start talking about the first thing that immediately happened to me as I'm starting to step into motherhood. The switch went off. As soon as I found out I was pregnant, it immediately changed my perception, perspective, the lens that I was looking at life through. Everything changed, and also just prioritizing things. But starting with preparing a new identity, and you know, it's just embracing this new role of motherhood and what that's gonna look like for me. And personally, that I don't want to lose that part of myself, and I feel like that's something I hear from so many different moms in so many walks of life, just how they've processed being a mother, how they've stepped into being a mother. And I feel like it's important not to lose your identity as a core, but I know from, like, everybody I've said, like, or talked to, everyone's like, everything's gonna change. And I already feel like everything is changing outside of my body changing, but like my mindset, my perspective. And it's so exciting because ever since I was a little girl, I've wanted to have a huge family. Everyone thought I was crazy because if you know the game The Sims, I'm dating myself a little bit, but it's a computer game and I was absolutely obsessed with it. I would spend hours on it. And this is, of course, I wanted to be an architect, so I was like designing the homes, but then you can design a family. And I design, like, would always have the max amount of kids in the family, and I always wanted a bunch of kids. And then reality set in. I realized the value of a dollar and how much it costs to raise a child. And also just the attention and being in the therapy world for so long. I feel like it's also, you want to make sure that you have the time and energy to pour into each child. So I went from wanting like 8 to 6 to 4 when I met my husband, and now I'm like, okay, 2, maybe just be one and done. We don't know yet. We're not there yet. But anyways, just focus on one at a time. And so I'm just really excited. I'm excited to step into being a mother. It's something I've always wanted. And now I have the amazing opportunity to raise this human that I have no idea what she's going to be like, because she's going to be her own individual human being and have different interests, who she is. I'm just so excited to discover what comes from it. But I'm just ecstatic. And I mean, I've seen it with my sister has two daughters and my cousin just had a little boy. So it's cool to kind of have them all grow up at the same time too, even though we all live in different states. I'm just excited. I'm excited to still maintain this personal and professional life that I have, as well as incorporating motherhood, because I feel like it's important not to lose yourself. I think we evolve and shift and change, but at the core of who we are as individuals. So that's the first thing. Second thing, career ambitions and motherhood. So part of this is setting boundaries for myself, as well as pregnancy brain, it's so real. But prioritizing without compromising in each area. So one thing I have been doing is filming a lot of my YouTube episodes ahead of time so I can create my own maternity leave, because as an entrepreneur, there is no maternity leave. And some companies don't even give you a maternity leave, even if you have a job. But really looking at, okay, how can I prioritize my time? How can I kind of step back? And I've already started doing this. I used to post 2 episodes every week on YouTube, and I loved it because it was a new interview of somebody brand new, bringing them on the show, and then the new series, Where Are They Now? So people I've interviewed 2 years ago or plus, bringing them back on. And honestly, it's so exciting. It's just so exciting to have like those individuals back. But I was posting 2 a week, and it's a lot on the back end. And I'm sure anybody who's ever started anything when it comes to editing, just getting too many things out at once, it's a lot of content. So I scaled back to 1 a week, and now I'm doing these solo episodes as well to really diversify the channel, but also really being strategic of where my time is gonna go, because I don't wanna sacrifice any time with my baby girl. And I think that's just, it's important. It's an important aspect, and just being present for her. So I've really started to set those boundaries of, okay, what needs to happen now? And I had a friend, I'm in a podcast mastermind, and she has 2 kids, and she's like, you know, you really act as if your due date is 2 months beforehand, so you can get everything done. She's like, the last month and a half or so, you're kind of nesting. So I was like, okay, that makes sense. But anyways, yeah. So I think that's part of it, just understanding, okay, how can I get ahead of things and be prepared for the unprepared? Because from what I've heard from every single mom I've spoken to, it's like, you can never fully be prepared for what's about to happen. So I'm just kind of trying to get ahead of everything I can before she comes. So that's a huge part of it, just setting those boundaries of, okay, my time is precious and I want to make sure that I'm getting everything done, being really strategic of what's in my control, because so much is going to be out of my control when she's here. So setting those boundaries. Another part is, because I still want to have all these goals and accomplish all these things, and I see all these phenomenal women entrepreneurs that are mothers that are doing so many things and making it happen. And I don't think you can do it all at once, but I think there's also on the back end, behind the scenes, it's who's helping you, who's being there to support you. And the other part of that is just not compromising what I want to accomplish. Well, just because I'm becoming a mother, that doesn't stop me in my tracks. And there are some moms that are stay-at-home moms and doing amazing things and homeschooling and doing all these things. And that's just not me. I don't think I could, but you know, you never say never, because I might see her and be like, I don't want to work anymore. I don't know. But I don't know if that will happen. I feel like I have my own goals, my own ambitions, and I'm very multidimensional. I don't want just one thing. I get bored very easily. So that's a big part of just understanding, okay, what are my ambitions? Because she's going to have her own. She's going to have her own life. She's her own identity. But I want to still have mine and keep that intact without compromising either or. So I think part of that was just really creating my own little maternity leave so I can be present for her and not have things stop immediately. So that's number 2. The third is navigating fears and unknowns. This one's a big one for me because it really comes back to like these honest reflections I've been having with myself. and the fears that I have around motherhood. And honestly, to give you some context, I do have anxiety. I've had anxiety. I mean, I think the first time I remember having anxiety was like 3 years old, but I've always had it and I've learned to manage it. But I feel like with having a baby and everything that I feel, she feels. So I haven't even really thought of labor and delivery because everyone's like, oh, what's your birth plan? What's this? It's like, you know, honestly, my birth plan is to keep us both healthy. But after she's born, we are both healthy. Everything's good. That is my main concern. Of course, I would love to have like a natural birth, but it might not be possible because I'm a little more on the petite side and my doctors, they don't really know at this point because I'll be 29 weeks when I'm filming this right now. But anyway, so I have a little bit of time to go and she has time to grow, which is good. But I think it's more, there's so many unknowns, and that's what I just keep hearing from so many different moms and just individuals that have gone through the whole journey of pregnancy and what that looks like. And I think a big part for me is not carrying that or transferring that to her as well, the anxiety. So I'm just taking it one step at a time. And I feel like that's been so beneficial for me of just looking at, okay, what is in my control? There's so much out of my control. And that's why even like creating my own maternity leave and like planning for the unknown, because I think for me, it helps my anxiety to have like a framework, even if it doesn't go exactly as planned or anything like that, at least I know, okay, this is the next step and where we need to go. So I feel like that's actually been helping me with the unknowns, but I think I've been just really processing. Okay, yeah, it can be scary and you're raising a child, you're instilling your values and morals, and Evan's going to be instilling his and how like we come together as parents and just what that looks like, because my parents always said that there's no rule book of like, this is how you parent. Everyone has a different style. And you know, the best advice I've been getting so far from other moms is really looking at the fact that it's a unique individual relationship, you and your baby. And then she's gonna have a different relationship with Evan and all the other people that are in our lives. But when you are growing this human, it's just, you feel it every single day. Like it's kind of that whole 9 months, sometimes 10, but that process of getting to know your baby ahead of time, you have this such a unique bond, it feels like already. But I talk to her every day, I give her affirmations, all the things to just continue to instill that positive, optimistic outlook versus instilling fear or anxiety that I might have onto her or into her as well. But I think that's been a part of the process. It's a lot to navigate, but taking it day by day. And then moving into the fourth one is building a support system. And, you know, I'm so, so grateful. I have such an amazing community around me here in Colorado, like my family, my best friend, great friends all in Florida, South Florida. And then I still have a handful of friends in California and my cousins out there too. But I have so many empowering women and men around me in my community. Here in Colorado, I had joined Polka Dots, a community for women. It's all about connection over business. Yes, you might do business, but that has been such a game changer for me. I joined last November and it's been so eye-opening of just how many women are doing so many amazing things. Some younger than me, some older than me, some my age, but all different backgrounds, all different types of businesses. And some are mothers, some are not, some are chosen mothers, bonus moms, all the things. But it's been such a cool journey and seeing how they have just taken me under their wing and I've just created these friendships that I never even thought possible. Like I've had so many great friendships over the years and I still have amazing friends. Everyone in my circle is like cultivated from just all the amazingness that they embody and embrace and so unapologetically themselves, but also accepting me as I am as well. I think it's really important, but yeah, it's just been such a whirlwind of how many women have stepped into my life that are so supportive, and all the moms that I've been meeting as well, just like building that community. So seeing other moms doing it and building their businesses, it's such a cool dynamic. And then of course, like having my sister, my best friend, my mom, those are like the core people in Florida. And then of course, all my other friends that are there. I don't have too many friends still in Florida. Everyone's kind of migrated out, but it's been really nice just to have that support of calling like, hey, is this normal? Like, is my belly button supposed to look like this?
Is your skin itchy? All the weird things that happen during pregnancy. If you know, you know. Comment below. Have you had any weird things happen during pregnancy for you? But I think part for me is just creating and cultivating that community, continuing to have that. I've joined Facebook groups on like for moms here in Colorado, and just really being able to continue to connect and build and nurture those relationships is absolutely everything. And you know, it's so great. Everyone's like, if you need a babysitter, let us know. And I was like, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's hard. Like, I have so many amazing people in my life, but I mean, my mom's gonna come and help for a few weeks, which will be really helpful when she's first born. But it's like, I don't know about you, but it's just like, you're growing this baby for 9, maybe 10 months. And then like, do you trust everybody in your circle? And I feel like being a former therapist, I'm very cautious of who I'm just gonna hand my baby to. I'm sure other moms can relate and dads can relate too. Or grandparents that are raising their kids or grandkids as well. But yeah, that's the big aspect of it. So just having that community, knowing I can call somebody up and be like, hey, I just need to take a shower. I just want to sleep for 20 minutes. Can you come by? So I think that's an awesome aspect to have that community around you and continuing to build that and have more mom friends. And self-care. So really just prioritizing my overall well-being. I've gotten much better. Actually, I'm going to take a sip. Speaking of self-care. Staying hydrated. I was the worst at drinking water prior to getting pregnant, so I've been really, really trying to be good about it and making sure that I'm getting all the water, she's getting all the water, staying hydrated, because especially in Colorado, the altitude and everything. Kind of used to it now because it's been 3 years, but you know, it is what it is. So just staying hydrated, definitely getting out, walking more. I'm trying to walk 30 minutes a day. That's been a struggle, especially like the first trimester because it was kind of smoky from the fires and the smog. I had a horrible cough for a while. And now in the third trimester, it's so difficult to sleep. I have that big body pillow, which is great. However, but like with just the aspect of sleeping, it's been so difficult because I'll get comfortable, and then like this was a few weeks ago when I had a really bad cough, I'd get comfortable and then I'd cough and then I'd have to pee, and it was like literally every 5 minutes. And it's so hard to get up. The bigger you get, it's a lot. And our bed's a little high, so I have a little step stool to get in the bed, but it's a lot. I'm exhausted. I feel exhausted right now. That's why I had to eat before, because it's like, why is my energy so low? But it's making sure that you're eating enough, exercising, staying hydrated, sleeping when I can. When I don't sleep at night, I'm trying to take naps during the day just to kind of regroup, but it's really difficult. And just also emotionally, oh my God. This morning, nothing was wrong. And I just started like getting teary-eyed and cried a little. And I'm like, hormones are everywhere. Everywhere, especially the last few weeks. Maybe it gets worse as you go on, but people are like, that doesn't change. It's like, got it, great. So I have that to look forward to, but definitely releasing those emotions. And I think it's good. It's good to regulate it as well, especially meditating, deep breathing. I try to do a couple deep breaths every couple hours when I remember. Probably should set an alarm for that, but yeah, I need to stay on track on that. Yeah, I think it's more just getting outdoors, having even like, we have a cute little backyard, so standing outside for a few minutes, just get the sun hitting my face and feeling like that vitamin D a little bit. So I think a huge part of the emotional piece, just to go back for a second, is I go to therapy once a week now, and that's been really helpful just in that transition period of not being pregnant and being pregnant and the hormones, and also all of the, what I was talking about earlier, the unknowns, really managing my emotions so it doesn't impact baby girl. Still don't have a name yet, but we will eventually. Well, we'll have to before we leave the hospital. So emotionally, that's been really good. And then also doing like couples therapy, because like Evan and I are rock solid, but just having that extra layer of like, let's be even more rock solid. So things that we can't even think of, we can have that third party that's neutral, not biased to the situation, and help us navigate parenting now, because we've never been parents. We have of course, Ollie, our fur baby, but that's slightly different. Definitely parenting, but slightly different. So definitely just taking care of me and my overall well-being so I can show up powerfully. And it's crazy because even like with affirmations and things I do on a daily basis, it's even more significant now, I feel, because everything I do, she's going to see and hear
and model, and I just want to show up powerfully for her because she deserves that, and I want her to see her mom do that too. And the next one, patience and letting go of perfectionism. That's a hard one. I will say I've definitely learned a lot of patience, even like what I was talking about in my last video of like our first year of marriage. I've definitely had to learn a lot of patience with myself and others and Evan, and letting go of perfectionism, because I think part of being a mom, part of being a human, we're not perfect. We're gonna make mistakes. And at my baby shower last weekend, I had people write like words of wisdom, those kinds of things. And a lot of them are like, look at mistakes as, instead of looking at it as a mistake, look at it as a learning opportunity. You're learning together. This is the first time we're parents of a newborn. We have no idea what we're doing. You can read everything. There's so much information out there. So of course you can have some foundation, but it's going to be different for every baby and every parent, because it's a whole new relationship. It's brand new, and you're learning together because you've never done this before. Even if it's your second or third or fourth kid, that relationship's going to be different. That child's going to be different. They're going to need different things. It's not a one size fits all. And I say that so much because I do believe we're all unique. We all bring something different to the table. And also, she's going to have both my DNA, Evan's DNA, the combination, and she's going to be her. And have her own spin on things. So I think it's just letting go of the needing to know everything, because I'm not gonna know everything, and I can know a few things, but in reality, it's all gonna be brand new, and every phase of her life, it's gonna be brand new, because I've never done it before. I've never had a newborn, a toddler, a child, a teenager. Of course, I babysat growing up. I've worked with kids. I've worked in high schools, middle schools, elementary schools, all the things, but this is definitely different. So I'm learning to let go of things that are not in my control. And being a recovering perfectionist, I'm really focused on, okay, the imperfection and knowing that's absolutely perfect that way. And everything's gonna happen the way it's supposed to. And things are gonna shift and change, and it's just kind of rolling with the punches. That's where I'm at with that one. And I'd say going into after all the motherhood talk, all the pregnancy talk, the biggest thing is just really setting my career and life goals as a new mom. And I'm really realigning my personal and career goals to fit into this new phase. So it's that flexibility, redefining success. And the moment I found out I was pregnant, a lot changed, as I mentioned. But I think the biggest thing is when it came to my mindset of just what to expect and looking at our goals long-term. So Evan and I own a solar energy company, and I have a YouTube channel, the podcast. I do trainings for California prison system. I do other things, like my plate's full. But when I was really looking at, okay, well, there was a conversation, do I go back to working full time? Do I try something new? Whatever it may be. So Evan and I were just talking about like diversifying our income, because like solar, as we call it, the solar coaster, some months are great, some are not so great. And it was being realistic. And you know, after careful consideration, I started to get a lot of signs. Like, I'm very woo-woo, but I started getting signs. I was watching like a show and they were talking about it. Then I was like reconnecting with friends from grad school. And it came up that what if I got licensed again, because I had practiced in California and it had been 7 years since I've practiced. So nothing is viable for Colorado. California and Colorado have completely different licensure processes and whatnot. So I was like, maybe it's time to go back to the field of mental health. And I never thought I would go back, partly because I was so burnt out. And I've talked about this on other videos, but I was seeing like 30 clients on a weekly basis. And with the doctorate, I was getting paid $15 an hour in Southern California. Granted, that was my experience. That was everything that I was dealing with. Could have went somewhere else. I could have done other things, but I just realized that at that moment in my life, there was just so much blowing up around me, in the sense of like I was going through a bad breakup. I had a bad roommate situation. I just call it, my life blew up at 26, but it was the biggest blessing. And I feel like I had a lot of growing up to do, because I started in the field at 21 and I was very green. I learned so much. I'm so grateful for all my experiences. I had amazing supervisors, amazing experiences in that way, but I felt like financially I just couldn't get ahead in Southern California. So I had given it up and I had moved back to Florida to start my coaching business. And fast forward, I had given up the coaching practice. I just kind of was like, I'm gonna put it on the back burner for now. I might go back to it, but it's not the right time. And so getting pregnant, I was like, maybe I do want to get licensed again, or licensed here in Colorado as a licensed professional counselor. In addition to that, go back into the coaching field and be able to diversify the income that way. And I feel like with everything that's been going on in the world the last few years, like post-COVID, so much has changed in the mental health field. And I feel like I'm ready to go back into it. I'm ready to step back into what's possible. I feel like a lot has changed and there's so many more opportunities. There's a lot more flexibility. And California and Colorado are very different types of states and different requirements. And I feel like with all my business experience now, I'm coming into it not as green. I have years of experience being a therapist. I have years of experience of being in the entrepreneur world. And I'm still an entrepreneur. I want to start my own practice for therapy as well, but I think it's time. So I'm going to be going back into the field and I'm excited. Just all the opportunities that can come. And all that started with getting pregnant. It made me just reevaluate my priorities, where I want to go in life and what's important for me future wise. And it's something I know I can do forever. It's something that I feel like I don't have to try so hard with, versus if I had to go get a full-time job, that might be a little more taxing on my soul. But I know a big part of my purpose in life is to help people, and I feel like we all help people in some capacity, no matter what it is. But I feel like on a core level, soul level, it's to help people through some tough times, and on that therapy aspect and coaching aspect. So stepping back into that, and I have her to thank for it. But that's kind of just summarizing everything that's been going on and what I've been learning through pregnancy, stepping into motherhood, and also just reevaluating what are my career ambitions, goals, and really just honoring that. And I hope you honor what's going on for you. If you're going through a life transition, that there's so much silver lining in those transitions, whether they're amazing opportunities or you feel stuck or you're like, why is this not working? Sometimes it's showing you, look at a different lens, look in a different direction, so it can allow you to take a step back and see what is possible, because if we allow ourselves to, we have no idea what we're capable of. But so glad to have you all here, and I will see you on the next episode.